It's Friday, October 1st, if you can believe that. I am Gideon Resnick.
And I am Priyanka Arabindi, and this is What a Day, the podcast that's recommended as a first-line treatment for acute Havana syndrome.
Yeah, it's officially sanctioned by the CIA to treat your syndrome.
I hope
that part's, that's where we're going to cut out for sure. On today's show, the union that represents production crews on TV and film sets starts voting today about a strike authorization, and we hear from some of the members. Plus, we're going to place bets on which bear will be the fattest for Fat Bear Week.
Very excited to hear your pick. But same. First, we want to give you a quick update on what's happening in Congress. As we go to record this on Thursday night, a few things remain up in the air. But for now, I'm happy to report that the Senate and the House have approved a short-term spending bill to keep the government open until early December.
And then we get to do it all over again.
Woohoo! It also provides some funds for disaster relief nationwide, as well as to support the resettlement of Afghan refugees. As we've said before, government shutdowns are really catastrophic and disruptive, definitely not something we want to be dealing with or territory we want to be in at all. So this is good news that we're avoiding this.
Yeah. And so what updates do we have on these other more complicated pieces of the puzzle, the big bills, if you will, that are up in the air?
So the first is the $3.5 trillion Build Back Better Act. That is Joe Biden's signature plan. It includes funding for lots of social priorities like fighting climate change, expanding childcare and early education, creating paid family and medical leave, and lowering prescription drug costs. But that $3.5 trillion bill is where Democrats need both Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to join the rest of the party to get it passed. Mm-hmm. But they are currently holding out. Manchin is having his usual issues. He's saying that he'd support the bill if it was $1.5 trillion, but that is about $2 trillion less than, you know, it's been. And that's a lot less money to do a lot less things with.
That's right. Quite a lot less. And then what is the status of the other bill that's on the table, the $1 trillion package for infrastructure?
Yeah, that one is your money for roads, bridges, transit, broadband upgrades, airports, electric vehicles, your usual infrastructure stuff. But that bill has passed the Senate with bipartisan support, but it might actually get held up in the House if there is no deal on the $3.5 trillion bill.
By the time you're listening to this, we might have new bridges to talk about. I don't know. We'll see.
You know, we hope. That is the latest on Congress as we go to record this on Thursday night. But as always, you can stay up to date with the breaking updates by following Crooked Media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. You name it, we're there. With that out of the way, Gideon, I know you've been following a potentially historic strike. Tell us a bit about what is going on.
Yeah, so on yesterday's show, we kind of walked people through the ongoing situation with the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, or IATSE. Definitely go back and listen to that if you want another refresher. So that is the union that's representing thousands of workers in the entertainment industry. And it has been at this months-long impasse in contract negotiations with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers over a lot of issues, namely some like more time for rest, better wages, things like that. But today, IATSE union members are beginning to vote on a strike authorization, which would allow for a strike to be called farther down the road.
You have been talking with some members of this union about what they've been going through and what they're thinking right now. What have they been telling you?
There's a lot that's out there, a lot of insane stuff from everybody. So first I spoke with Allison Golub. She is a writer's assistant with Local 871. And when she used to work on sets, her job was even more grueling.
There's no work-life balance. You don't want to turn down work because you don't know when the next job's going to come along. But then the job you do take, it means devoting at least 60 hours a week of your life, if not much more.
Yeah, and here's an example of the intense scheduling that she has dealt with when starting work on Fridays on set.
Often they'll do Fridays, which means you're not wrapping until 4 or 5 in the morning on Saturday, and then you're coming back in 5 a.m. Monday morning, you know, 48 hours later.
Yeah, and of course this ends up being cumulative and not healthy, and it actually took a lot at times for her just to stay awake.
I remember coming in at like 5:30 in the morning. By 9, 10 a.m., I'm, like, falling asleep standing up, and, like, I have to go get something sugary and unhealthy to keep myself awake. so many times where I was like blasting the AC and the music in my car to keep myself awake. Like, I can think of so many days that were like that.
Jeez. And is what you're hearing all that uncommon? Are you hearing this from other people as well?
Oh, it's not uncommon at all. I mean, this is like universal. It's only degrees of like how crazy the horror stories are. I also spoke with Elena McManus. She is a camera technician and member of IATSE Local 600. She told me that another challenge on top of everything else is the unpredictable scheduling.
We never know if we're going to break for lunch on time or at all. And we never know when we're going to go home. So you can't plan anything. And when you're working for 12, 14 hours a day, like picking up a prescription, making a doctor's appointment, even just, you know, time with your family becomes extremely diminished.
Yeah, that's like nuts to me. That is crazy. You have also been hearing a little bit about the kind of low wages that people with these jobs have had to deal with. Can you tell us more about that as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to that. But one example is that Allison Golub told me wages are a really big focus of the writers in IATSE. She said that the union minimum for writers' assistants is $16 an hour, which is just one more than LA's minimum wage.
It is not unreasonable to want to be able to afford to live your life while you're working 60 hours a week. I mean, you always hear horror stories or see them in assistant groups of people asking, where can I sell my plasma? Where can I sell my eggs? No one should have to be asking that to make a living while they're working full-time jobs.
Yeah, you hear it in her voice. It really is not unreasonable to want to be able to afford your life while you're working any job. I shout that from the rooftops, put it everywhere. It's completely, completely within reason. I know that the voting on the strike authorization begins today. Do you have a sense of how it could go based on the people you're talking to?
Yeah, I mean, basically everybody thinks that this is going to pass. Allison Golub said as much. The camera technician Elena McManus told me everyone that she knows is going to vote yes. And so did Rebecca Ryan, the National Executive Director of the International Cinematographers, IATSE Local 600. Here's what she told me.
I believe the strike authorization vote will pass overwhelmingly. And I think it's fair to say that nobody wants a strike. A strike is a failure to resolve issues and find solutions.
That, I think, is a really important point and something that stuck with me in listening to this. Like, no one wants a strike. You know, we want to reach a deal. People want to be able to do their work. Isn't that kind of what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, wanting to be at work, be paid for what you're doing. But a lot of people, yeah, I mean, a lot of people love what they do and they just want to be, you know, compensated in a fair way for it.
Totally.
Ryan also told me that this fight kind of fits in right with the broader labor movement that we've seen across the country in many, many other industries.
This is a fight about how you treat your workers, whether it's Amazon warehouses or Amazon film sets. This is a much, much bigger fight than just about the entertainment industry.
100%. What is the timeline of this voting?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it goes from today through Sunday with the final results that are expected early next week. At least 75% of the people voting need to say yes for it to be successful. So we'll keep following that as it progresses here. And Priyanka, one other labor story I'm keeping my eye on. Earlier this month, members of United Auto Workers approved a strike authorization as contract negotiations have been ongoing with John Deere. And as of recording time, thousands of John Deere employees in Iowa, Kansas, and Illinois could actually go on strike as early as today.
Wow.
We're going to link to a story that goes over some of those details, more on this to come and these kinds of stories. But that is the latest for now. It's Friday, Wad Squad, and for today's temp check, we are talking about the only animal-themed week that is more impactful than the shark one. It is Fat Bear Week, when staff at Alaska's Katmai National Park and Preserve show us all the bears in their territory who have gorged themselves on salmon to prepare for hibernation. Then we pit them against each other in a bracket-style contest to decide who is the number one fat bear. The park has been running the contest for the past 7 years, sharing before and after photos of the participating bears. The bear transformation really is quite dramatic. Bears can put on 4 pounds of weight a day in the lead up to winter, my chonky kings. And by the time they start hibernating, males can weigh up to 1,200 pounds. More information about the contest is at fatbearweek.org. Priyanka, there are a lot of amazing bears competing this year, but who do you think will be announced as the winner next Tuesday?
Okay, it was a tough pick, and I encourage all of you to go on the site and look this up because there are a bunch of wonderful competitors up here.
Yes.
But my pick is Bear 812, which I also want to say, all these bears need names. I don't like
they
that
do.
Some of them have just numbers. That feels mean. But
I
812,
agree.
He is a grizzled brown fur bear. He is like a young adult, and I like that his personality is not so dominant. He seems like kind of a friendly guy, but I think that he could like kind of sneak up. Like, he's someone you want to root for, and that is how I came to that conclusion. But Gideon, I want to know a little more about who you think is going to win.
My pick, and again, you really are going to have to look at the bears in order for this to make sense, but my pick is 32 Chunk. He is indeed a chunk. He was the runner-up last year. And I think that he's going to get it this year. You know, I think he's going to come back chonkier than ever. This is his to lose. That's my pick.
Okay. Well, we want to know what you guys think. So everyone, please look this up. Tell us. Pick your bear. Pick mine, not Gideon's. Vote for them. Let us know what you think. And we will keep you updated as, you know, this competition heats up. I didn't know about this until yesterday. My life has been changed. So,
yeah. Well,
I'm now deeply invested.
Priyanka didn't know about it until yesterday, and she wants you to pick her bear. Seems like a little bit of a fallacy in logic. But anyway, just like that, we have checked our temps. Pick your bear. You can pick Priyanka's. It's totally fine. I will only be slightly sad. And we'll be back after some ads.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
The Department of Homeland Security issued new guidelines yesterday, which explained that immigrants to the U.S. should not be targeted for arrest or deportation just because they are undocumented. The guidelines will also give individual Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, officers more discretion in determining who constitutes a threat to, quote, public safety. Under the Trump administration, ICE officers were allowed to arrest anyone who was in the U.S. illegally at any time. When Biden took office, he instructed ICE to focus only on certain groups of undocumented immigrants, like people with criminal histories, and he required agents to get approval from supervisors to arrest people outside of those groups. The new guidelines throw out the supervision rule and instruct officers to do their own thorough assessment of an individual's risk. Okay. Immigration activists and lawyers pointed out that this change will make it harder to hold individual ICE officers accountable. The new directives are going to take effect on November 29th.
You know, first part sounds pretty good. Second part, I don't know who thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I certainly do not. Facebook's head of safety testified at a Senate hearing yesterday about its product's effects on young people's mental health. Earlier this month, the Wall Street Journal published a series of articles detailing internal research done by Facebook, which shows that its photo sharing app Instagram can induce body image issues and suicidal thoughts for teens and most notably teenage girls. The company has said that its research has been misinterpreted and taken out of context. During yesterday's hearing, a bipartisan group of senators accused Facebook of concealing its findings and asked why the company didn't do more when it found out that its product was harmful. Lawmakers vowed that they would modernize the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, a behind-the-times 1998 law that governs websites that gather data on kids. Yeah, definitely behind the times. Speaking of, here is a brief exchange from yesterday between Senator Richard Blumenthal and the Facebook executive where they discussed the concept of private secondary Instagrams, also known as Finstas. Try not to cringe.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I thought it would go.
I saw a tweet that was like, he says Finsta like he's saying like NAFTA or something. And he completely does.
Right. Yes. This was like a treaty signed, you know, like 55 years ago. It's codified, like international governments recognize it. Yeah.
Guys, there's a fake Instagram that I'm just like sending pictures from. It's like a burner account. You're fine.
Yeah, I have more questions about that specifically later, but Astars really are just like us. They shop for groceries, they get coffee with their friends, they get attacked and robbed by two wild hogs in Barcelona. On Wednesday, Shakira posted videos in her Instagram stories explaining how she and her son were overrun by two hogs in a public park who proceeded to grab her bag and run away into the woods. Now, fortunately, the singer and her son escaped the ordeal unscathed, but we do think the wild hogs could be in danger from eating all the loose mints in Shakira's purse. Look out. The feral hogs in question are far from lone actors. Appearances of these invasive predators that carry diseases and leave destruction in their wake has increased rapidly in recent years, everywhere from Berlin to Hong Kong to Houston. But Priyanka, enough about me and my friend group, and let's get back to the hogs. Everyone, beware of wild hogs. And to be clear, we are not referring to the 2007 film of that name starring Tim Allen, Martin Lawrence, John Travolta, and William H. Macy, which could actually act as a balm for your spirit after a real-life hog attack.
Eminem has opened up an Italian restaurant named after his hit song Lose Yourself, and it is called Mom's Spaghetti. The Eminem store would have been cleaner, but unfortunately, it was taken. Eminem's new Detroit spot seems to serve your standard spaghetti and meatballs, and we cannot speak to the quality of the food. Wad has not sent us there yet, though we would go. But it is referenced in a rap song in the context of throwing up on your own shirt, so draw your own conclusions. Also in celebrity news, it sounds like a dream you had, but aren't sure if you're remembering it right. Lindsay Lohan has teamed up with an NFT collective, Canine Cartel, to auction off an image of Lohan drawn as a dog, or more specifically, her fursona. A fursona is an anthropomorphized animal character popular among the furry community. And if you do not know what that is, feel free to Google.
Yeah.
The minimum bid is set at around $1,500. And in the very narrow chance that this hits all of your interests, first of all, no judgment from us. And second of all, you can bid on the NFT up until Saturday morning. So get moving.
Yeah, get the bids in right after your search. Search about what this is on your computer and then get the bids in.
Yeah, sure. Definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. And those are the headlines. One more thing before we go. Philip Bacardi's podcast, Unholier Than Thou, has risen from the dead and is back for season 2, Resurrection. For a second, I was like, why are we saying thing?
Spooky season. I guess it's October.
It is. This season is all about the wisdom of everyday people falling down, getting up, and trying new things as they navigate re-entry into a newish world. You can listen in as Philip's search for illumination takes him on a road trip from LA to Cambridge, Massachusetts, for his first semester of Harvard Divinity School. The Unholier Than Thou trailer is out now, and episode 1 drops October 8th. Follow and listen to Unholier Than Thou now, wherever you get your podcasts. That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, buy Lindsay Lohan's persona if you want, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just the official working definition of a Finsta like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And watch Wild Hogs this weekend.
Yeah.
Will you be doing that this weekend, Gideon?
I will not. I don't think that I will. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Charlotte Landis. Jazzy Marine is our associate producer with production help from Jossie Kaufman. Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Leo Duran and me. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.